Part of Reformed thinking within the Reformed Church is that we accept light from any quarter. So God, in His grace, can reveal lots of truth through any different way. So we look for light for any quarter. And I want to read for you just a few lines, a couple of paragraphs from two secular prophets that you may well be familiar with, to set us thinking this morning. "Hello," said Piglet. "What are you doing?" "Hunting," said Pooh. "Well, hunting what?" "Tracking something," said Winnie the Pooh, very mysteriously. "Tracking what?" said Piglet, coming closer. "That's just what I asked myself. I asked myself, what?" "What do you think you'll answer?" asked Piglet. "Well, I shall have to wait until I catch up with it," said Winnie the Pooh. Two secular prophets, known to many, most of us. And we laugh at it, we smile at it. And yet it's terrifyingly easy to live like Winnie the Pooh. Tracking something, following something, we're not quite sure what it is, we're not quite sure what the purpose in our life is, we're not quite sure what the direction in our life is, but we're tracking something, and hopefully when we get there, we'll recognize what it is. But just for the minute, we're just hoping that it will be worth it. So we put in another day, another week, another month, another year, still hoping to catch up with it, whatever it might be. It is terrifyingly easy to live like Winnie the Pooh. So what about you? What are you tracking? What are you following? What direction is your life taking? If your life was pictured as a bus, what would be the destination written on the front of that bus? Where are you going? What are you following? Jesus has called His disciples to track Him, to follow Him. He's given them purpose. He's given them direction. They have spent time with Him. They have lived closely with Him. They have watched Him. They have been involved in all that He's been doing. Jesus has been giving their lives purpose and direction. And now He lays out more clearly the direction in which He is going. And they're not really words that His disciples wanted to hear, because things are on a roll. Crowds are gathering around Jesus. The whole movement seems to be going well. Everyone's excited. Jesus is popular. It's good to be part of that. And then Jesus lays out the direction which He is going. Verse 31 of chapter 8, Mark's Gospel. "Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man," and that's the name that Jesus gives Himself. That's the title that Jesus gives Himself. Nobody else uses that title for Jesus. That's what He gives to Himself. "Began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that He must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And He spoke plainly about this." It's not really what we expected to hear, Jesus. Not really what we wanted to hear, but Jesus is very clear. It's not that there might be difficulties and danger ahead. Jesus is walking straight into it. Jesus makes it clear what waits ahead. Jesus makes it clear what following Him will entail. This was what He had come to do. This was His purpose. This was His direction. And as we gather in a few moments around the Lord's table, we too travel back to that cross where Jesus died, not accidentally, not because it's just the way circumstances came together. Jesus makes it clear that this was his mission. This was his purpose, to die on the cross in our place, to take the punishment which should have been ours. We've already sung, "He that was without sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God." Paul says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us." Jesus on the cross takes our sin and it's transferred onto Jesus, and his righteousness is transferred onto us. This wonderful substitution. No accident. Not just the way things worked out. This was his purpose. This was his direction. He went to the cross knowing the anguish both physically and spiritually which will lie ahead of him. As the one who has always been with his heavenly Father from the very beginning and will be to the very end, in the midst of that agony of the cross, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This agony of being separated from his heavenly Father. But knowing too that on the third day he would rise again. Knowing too that he will come back again. And as Mark gives it in his gospel, verse 38, he will come back again, not quietly and almost unnoticed in some little backwater in Israel, in his Father's glory with the holy angels. This is God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no other plan. There's no plan B. This is it. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. Jesus is ascended to his Father. Jesus will come back. And this simple meal of bread and wine takes on huge significance when we have been overwhelmed by God's grace. That's what happens when we come to faith. We are overwhelmed by the grace of God. It's like a tsunami that sweeps through our lives. Overwhelmed by God's grace. So that this moves from being just bread and wine to being a meal of great significance, for it points to Jesus and all that God has done in him for us. Now maybe like Peter, you think there could be a different way. Maybe like Peter, you think there could be a better option than this option, Jesus. Don't go down this road. And yet one of the harshest rebukes that Jesus gives is to Peter. There is no other option. This is the road that Jesus is traveling. So again, I ask, if your life was a bus, what would it say across the front of it? Where would you be headed? Eternity spent with God through faith in Jesus Christ, or eternity separated from God and all that is good and lovely and pure? There is no other way. This is God's plan of salvation. That must have been quite a hammer blow for the disciples to hear. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'd be rejected, despised. I will be killed. But on the third day, I will rise again. The turmoil in their heads, we know it. We live on this side of those events. The turmoil in the heads of those disciples must have been immense. But he doesn't finish there. Jesus doesn't finish there. Not only does he give his direction of travel, where he is tracking, where he is following, it's also the direction of those who follow him. And so Jesus talks about taking up a cross and following him. Now, Jesus is not using this term cross-bearing to describe some sort of burden that we carry through life. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, everyone has a little cross to bear. And it generally means something that's difficult or awkward or hard to carry through life. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It's much more than that. His disciples would have known that. His disciples would have known that anybody that they saw carrying a cross was heading to death. They weren't carrying it to keep fit. They weren't carrying it because it was some sort of nice thing to do, because it was sort of set you up as being super spiritual. They were carrying it because it was an instrument of execution. So cross-bearing as a follower of Jesus means nothing less than giving up your whole life to following him. Not just that time when we recognize our own sinfulness and the need for the Savior, but every moment of every day following on from that. We bear our cross as we give our lives totally to him. And we recoil from that. We recoil from Jesus using this imagery of cross-bearing because we don't want to go there. We don't want to track that. We don't want to follow that. And yet Jesus goes on to explain this is the way to life. Because we all know the truth that if we clutch life completely to ourselves, if we protect ourselves from everyone and everything else, if we insist on our own rights, our own privileges, our own needs, our own wants, if we insist on all that, we end up losing life because it's not life anymore. We become shriveled. We close our hearts and our lives to anyone and anything else, and we just become shriveled people. But if you realize that life is not yours by right, when we get to that stage that we realize that we are dependent upon the grace of God for the very breath that we breathe, then we have life. Then we are set free. And then we live it openly before God and each other, and we are enriched. We probably all know people who, for various reasons, have decided to just close up their lives to other people. There's a barrier there that no one can get through, and they become sad, they become closed, they often become bitter. But we also know people who just throw their lives open, who love and are loved, whose lives are enriched and deepened because they're open to each other, because they're open to the love of God and Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, you can hold on to your life if that's what you really want to do, but at the end of the day, you'll lose it. If all you want is what you can gather up in this life, in this world, then you can have it, but you miss out on the greatest gift of all, that is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Following Jesus. We've been talking about it so much over these last months. Following Jesus is not about making a few minor adjustments to our lives. If we even begin to understand this imagery of cross-bearing, it is giving our lives totally to Jesus. Not tweaking little bits of our lives around the edge, but giving our lives totally to him. It's about being prepared to set aside our own ambitions, our own plans, our own dreams, if you like, to die to them and to track Jesus and to follow Jesus wherever that takes us. One of the exciting things in the Christian life is to watch people who do just this. People who have a lot going for them where they are now, but know what it is to follow Jesus, and they give it up to do different things. Maybe to head off overseas and give their lives in service. Maybe they set aside careers here to focus on some form of ministry, and they find fulfillment in life in that because they give themselves fully to Jesus. It's a discipline. We don't like that word discipline because it smacks of rules, it smacks of getting things done, but yet it is so important. Following Jesus is not just about a one-off decision way back when. It's about what Jesus is doing in your life now. It's about where he is leading you now. It's about trusting him completely. Wherever that takes us. But we're never left wondering what we'll find. We're never left wondering what it will be when we catch up with it. Because it will be Jesus in all his glory. So what are you tracking? What are you following? Let's pray together. Lord, there are so many pathways that we can walk down and amble along and enjoy to different extents, and yet your word talks about that narrow path. Lord, forgive us that we're content simply to wander through life. Forgive us, Lord, that we can be easily satisfied with not knowing where we're going or what we're doing. And Lord, in these days, work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. That we may be excited and enthused about the call that Jesus places on our lives. That we may remember all that he did for us. And seek to follow him day by day, wherever he has placed us. And this we ask for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen.